Hope everybody's comfortable. I got a lot of stuff, and it's going to take a long time. So settle in and get comfortable, because it's coming now. I'm kidding. All right. We live in a me-centric world. It's a world that worries a lot about how we feel. I'm working with a group of people every day, and I'm told constantly that I am to be concerned about how they feel. How it makes them feel. How I say things and ask them to do their job, how that feels for them. Because it's very important that if they feel good about their job, they'll do their job. You know, what about my happiness? I actually heard that in a meeting on Friday. Well, what about your happiness? We get paid to do a job, we do a job. I find it very easy to get caught up in, I guess, the world revolving around me. It's not too tough. And I was told when I was 16 or 17 that the world didn't revolve around me. It was by my dear mother. And at 25, I understood. Because eventually, we had kids, and that changed the earth revolving around myself. As humans, we used to think that the universe revolved around the earth, rather than the earth being part of the universe. Copernicus told them they were wrong. 50 years after that, Galileo said that earth and the planets revolve around our sun. And they threw him in jail. They were so convinced that the universe revolved around us that they actually jailed him for a different thought. Actually taking away the opportunity to say that it's not all about me. With God as our guide, we find out it's not all about me. We find out it's all about you. Christ gave us everything, didn't he? We just remember the sacrifice he gave us. We could praise him for that. We can remember that sacrifice. Does that mean that even though they did all that for us, our time should be spent in the pleasing of ourselves? Because really, at the end of the day, we're here to serve God, correct? We're here to be the glory of God. As Christians, we're told to bring light to the world. Light is that glory that we get all the time that we should give out. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showed its handiwork. Our God knows that we will have trouble. He knows there's going to be pain and struggles in our lives. He knows this. It's not if we're going to have these things, it's when. And those of you that live on the rosy side of life, there are bad things that happen to everyone that can't be controlled, that you didn't cause. It's how we react to those troubles. How do we handle anger? How do we handle the blaming? I remember back in the flood here, long time. And this was our flood, Des Moines' flood. We heard, why would God let this happen? I worked at Marriott at that point. And we had just made a large purchase of chicken that was in a freezer. I'm going to tell you, there was 4.5 tons of chicken in a freezer that sat at 75 degrees for 14 days during that flood. My job on day 15 was to come in and clear out that freezer. Now, I don't like chicken much yet. And it was not fun. But you know, through that flood, not once did I lose power. The only real inconvenience I had was having to go another block around to get to my job. Danielle and I lived in Altoona at that point. And it was power on, clean clothes, showers. Didn't have the problems all the neighborhoods had, where they're having to go to a group shower, an outdoor shower, where you got 5 minutes to three to lather up and two to rinse. We didn't have that. So on that, during those times like that, are you saying, God has given me this because I can handle it? Or are you saying, oh, this is so awful. I can't believe God's doing this to me. It's how we handle it, how we come out of it. We are to give glory to God in all we do. Our Lord knows what it takes to make us strong. We all have troubles. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and that shall glorify me. Right there he tells us he's expecting trouble. He's ready. That's not only to make you faithful, not only to make you see the things that you need to see in order to be a good Christian. That's actually to give you strength. That's to give you strength to go out and talk to people about what you're given. Call on me on the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and that shall glorify me. Our success is for the glory of God. And we talked a little bit about this in the class this morning downstairs. Our success, the glory that God gives us, is through the talents that he gives us. It's not about where we end up on the money list. It's not about how many things we possess. It's what we do with our talents that God gives us. We talked this morning about the things that you can do. You know, are you a success because you have a great big house, a fancy car, you know, 10,000 people that say they're your friends? Or are you better off to just have a fantastic Christian life with a good family, with a few friends you love that know you, that you know they love you back, that you can count on whenever you have troubles? For me, it would be the second one. I don't have any of the first. Now, I've got a place to live. I've got a couple cars to drive. You know, we have plenty of food to eat. You know, do you praise God for that? Because that's the glory that we're supposed to give. We praise for the glory that we're given. All right, those things that he gives us is all to his glory. It is very easy in this life, once you have a little success, to get a big head. To suddenly be too big for your britches, as my grandfather would say. To grow out of your size of your cranium and have a head here when your head really should be there. We always think that what we do is the most valuable. I live in a farming community now. And I've said before, I always thought farmers were very faithful. Because there's a lot of your life that depends on what happens after you plant a seed. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. So even though the farmer fertilizes, puts the seed in the ground, nothing grows until God lets it. Growing up, the farmers that were the happiest, that had the least stressful lives, that had, and I don't want to say the best crops, because they didn't always have the best crops. But they were the ones that, in spite of that negative harvest, would still be there praising God. Would still be teaching Sunday school, would still be trying to give youth back, would still be trying to do the things that they needed to do because it glorified God. They knew because they had one bad year that God would be there for them. Because they grew up, they were taught, and they understand that the glory of God is in what you make out of what he gives you, not what you take or what you need to give. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And success you have is given by God. He lets you excel to glorify him. Declare the glory that is God. Our bodies and our minds. Excuse me. Are to be used for God's glory. I have started trying to get into shape again. And after 3 to 4 years of not trying to be in shape, which I was very good at, trying to get in shape is no fun. The first day in trying to glorify God, did my leg workout. Got home and I was scared to walk down my steps because I didn't think I didn't think my legs would hold on to get me down all those steps, but I really needed a shirt. So down the steps I went, slowly and steady. Wins a race in this deal. But the physical part of our lives where we try to get back in shape, it's It's to make us feel better. God knows there's a place we should be where we're all going to be comfortable. Physical impurity doesn't glorify God. There's a lot of people that do worse things than enjoy not working out to their bodies. I'm not saying that makes them any less, but the people that are using drugs, the people that are filling their body with excess alcohol, we can say sugar can be bad. You know, if you know anyone or if you have diabetes, sugar is a very bad thing, but it's the hardest thing to stay away from. Those physical impurities are hard for us. The things that ruin your mind truly are a sin. If they take away the talent God has given you and wither you down to nothing. I've talked many times about my friend Jay, alcoholic, who has since come back around. I look at what he has for a mind now and what he could have done with that mind had he just been straight and sober. And his ability would have been so big. You know, I know what he does now, and he's a sponsor. He does what he can do for those that get into trouble that can't handle that. Handle the alcohol, can't handle the drugs. He's a sponsor, he does very well with it. He knows that when he came around from that last drink that he had, he wasn't honoring God. He's since come back to it. Your mind and your body is God's tool. It is a tool for people to witness, for people to see. When people see you on the street, do they know that you're happy? Or do they look at you slumping, dragging behind, and miserable? Because we all know people like that. If we're going to go out in the world to be that light, there's no way you can be the light and be looking down at your shoes. To be that light, you need to walk out and glow. The world needs to see your happiness outright. That doesn't mean you can't have bad days. It just means there shouldn't be as many of them. We have the great reward in front of us, the thing that Christ gave us. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye bought with a price, therefore glory God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. We forget sometimes that the body is God's. Don't we? The people that have left us, that have chosen to take their life. If we have those, God, I always pray that God will judge. Because I know that I can't do anything from there. But your spirit is also God's. And it is to the glory of God. Your spirit, that which makes you you, the thing that makes everyone come out when you talk, when people see you, when they come forth to talk to you, when you just say hi to a friend. That's your spirit. That's what you're given. That's your talent. That's what you're given right away. All of us have that. Whether you like to stand up here and talk or whether you just like to be out in public and just talk to people. That's an incredible gift. Being able to make people want to talk back to you is something. My father has spoken publicly a few times. But he would not like what it'd make him very would make him very uncomfortable to do what's going on right now. This isn't his thing. But my dad in a group or sitting with three people he's never seen before can talk for hours about some common ground that he can find. You know, by the end of that, those people know my father, and they're proud of my dad, and I think they're getting the best part of him. Because by the time they leave, they know what his name is. They know where he lives. There'll be some sport that he's sitting at that he's talking to people around him. So they'll know what he likes for sports. They'll know why he's there, who he's there to see. And he'll know a little bit about them. And if he sees them again, chances are he's going to talk to them again. He might not remember their names, but he'll remember who they are, where he saw them. That's a gift. That spirit you bring to the world is what people remember of you. That's the glory to God. Our struggles are to be used to God's glory. Now, everyone relates to trials, troubles, heartaches, tragedies. and pain in your life, because we've all had them. God gave us those. We were talking about it downstairs, again, in class, about giving God the glory. Now, when it rains, do you go, ah, it's raining? Or do you thank God for letting it rain so that we can have the things that we need? Water to drink, grass to walk on, not gravel. The green grass that comes up, the plants that grow, the trees that leaf to give us oxygen. Do you thank Him for those things? Or do you go, ah, rain? Because there's some days I'm an ah, rain guy, I got to tell you. Do you think about it? Do you give that glory back to God for what He gives us? We always say, why does God allow these things to happen in our life? Because He could stop them. God never allows more than what we can handle personally. He does those things, as I said before, to give you strength. Maybe to bring you to Him. Because at some point you just have to realize that there's nothing you can do and it's in God's hands. The best prayers are always the sincere prayers that are asking for things that are beyond you. Because I truly know that God answers prayers. And to ask for the right thing and have that given is incredible. That we know He's there to help you in those times, when you need those times, when things are going great. Man, that's a good time to pray. That's when it feels the best. Because then you're truly just praising God, thanking Him for the things that have happened, that you've been able to accomplish, that He's been able to give you the power to do, the memory to hold, the physical skills to do, showing your talents in abundance. God allows these things to happen in our life, but He allowed a lot of bad things to happen even in Bible times. When Lazarus was sick, Jesus didn't rush to his side, did He? He stayed a couple days. He knew that Lazarus was sick and dying, and He loved Lazarus. He loved Mary and Martha, his sisters. But yet He stayed a couple days and waited. When He got there, Mary and Martha couldn't understand why He didn't come. We sent you the message. You could have saved Him. How come you didn't come? Because they weren't thinking about God at that point, where they were thinking about how they felt. Jesus waited because it brought glory to God. When He brought Lazarus back from the dead, after Jesus Himself wept in grief, that was for the glory of God. Because that brought more glory to God than just healing a sick man. Returning a man back from death was glorying God in the most magnificent way, in a way only Jesus could. It wasn't to bring Mary and Martha comfort, even though He loved them. It was to bring glory to God. We had a good example of this in Tom Woody. Through all the sickness and the treatments and everything that man went through, I never heard a negative thing or read a negative thing that came out of him. Through all the pain that he actually went through, he still gave glory to God every chance he was given. He saw the struggle that God gave him as a way to strengthen others. He saw it also as a way to maybe bring people to the salvation of Jesus Christ. Because at some point we need to learn, our faith needs to grow and strengthen. And we need to learn to depend on Christ rather than ourselves. I am very self-sufficient. I'm very independent in my thoughts and in the way I do things. I don't take direction very well. I should take it better, but I don't. I'm impatient. Sometimes I get good and angry. I'm not scared of confrontation. Ever. Should be. Because in learning and studying the glory that we're given, I can't be that light to God unless I learn how to control those things. Unless I learn to back off that anger. Unless I learn to take the confrontation and turn it around to something that God would be proud of. I'm not doing it. So to give glory to God is not just a thing we do today. It's what we do all the time. We are to glory God in everything. In what we do. In Matthew 5:16 it says, so let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They may see your good works. Not because you're there doing it. In the movie McFarland, there is a portion, and I like it, where a guy's washing buckets. And he's just standing there washing buckets. It's a Mexican gentleman, and the coach comes up, and he still thinks he speaks Spanish and not English, but which was funny. I ask your dad if I can help him wash his buckets. Dad, can you help him can he help you wash your buckets? Yeah, that kind of thing. Okay, that was funny. I encourage you to watch that movie. But McFarland, okay, at that point, what the guy says is, we don't ask for help here. If you want to be a helpful person, pick up a bucket and a hose and start washing. So what I'm saying today is that if you want to be a good Christian, if you want to give glory back to God, take up God. Take up that good side. Be the help. Don't ask if you can. Step in and do it. We all need a helpful person. People that do the good works because they want to are the best kind. You never say no to somebody that just steps in and helps you. In your struggles, for all things are for your sakes, that abundant grace might be through thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Remember in struggles to call on Christ. In Psalm 50:15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and that shall glorify me. It doesn't say to do that once. You have one shot at this. We have one shot at life on this earth in order to go see God in heaven. But call on me when you're in trouble. That's an endless offer. Glorify me. Do the things that glorify me. This came out just as I wanted it to. And to God's glory, He gave me the ability to deliver this message in exactly 25 minutes, and that's what I was pushing for. It is not about me. And when you look in the mirror, it's not about me. All right, as a Christian, and a Christians, we are all about you. We want you to join us. We want you to come along with us down that walk into heaven. We want you to be there when we're praising God for all eternity. We want you. So it's all about you. And when you need help, you need to pray to God and ask for that, or ask one of us to help you pray to God so we can help that. If you would like to come forward to become part of this church, if we can help you in anything, please come forward as we stand and sing the last hymn.